Christ Jesus. I greet you from the absolutely gorgeous nation of Canada, specifically the city of Surrey, S-U-R-R-E-Y. Yes, I'm learning new places as I go and as I travel. And I greet you from this wonderful place where the weather is incredible. And in the midst of all that God is doing in the world, in the midst of all that God is doing with you and with I, as we walk with Him, as we walk through this life, as we go through this journey that God has for us in such a time as this. And you know, one thing you got to always keep in mind is that this window that we're here in this paradigm, that time is not real. And I have to remind you guys of that every now and then, because though we experience time because you know, of death and decay and all that entered into the human experience with Adam, though we experience it, it's not real. Because that which is eternal, that which is last, and you are an eternal being, that when time is finished, everything continues on. Things go on, and we just wrap up in this reality and move on into the next. But the fact of the matter is that for this window of time, you and I are here. You and I experience life in this place, in this window, in this season, in time. But you have to know, even though you're in time, what's real and what's not, so that you can distinguish between them, and then you don't get wrapped up the way the world does. Because the world buys into the illusion. The world buys into the man-made thinking and the tricks of the enemy, which, you know, the enemy is very deceptive. And if you don't have the Spirit of God at work within you, giving you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, then you're going to be deceived. Because there's very strong deceptive spirits running around in the world right now, doing a lot of different things. And there's a lot of people falling for it because they think in the level of their mind. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there's a way that seems right to the logical, carnal, thinking mind of a person. But without the Spirit of God leading and guiding you, though it might seem right, it will lead to death, to destruction, to a lot of things that are not what you want. So, you know, the process of life is also understanding. You know, you need to have an understanding heart. And God gives that. That's a gift of God. You know, I was talking to a dear sister in the Lord recently, and we were talking about the day and the age that we live in. And, you know, beautiful sister, beautiful heart, beautiful, just loves God with all her heart. And, you know, she's an amazing person. And, but we were talking about how, you know, the world that we live in right now, and technology in particular, and how so much information is available to people. And the thing is, we live in a day of the fulfillment of, you know, what was written in the book of Daniel in the 12th chapter, which is, you know, knowledge shall increase and people shall grow to and fro. And knowledge certainly has increased. But when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to understanding, an understanding heart, you know, that is a gift of God. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have wisdom and understanding, and the ability to discern, and a discerning spirit, which is a gift of God. You can't get that on the internet. You can't get that by reading a book. That's a gift of God. God can give you an understanding heart, and you want an understanding heart, because then you will be able to understand the seasons and the times and all that's going on around you, and God's call for you in the midst of it. You need to know God's call for you in the midst of all that takes place. Because God's call is for you your place of peace. It's for you your place of purpose. Because see, while we live in time, while we live here for a window and for a season, in the midst of the window and the season that we live in, you know, you don't want to waste it. You don't want to waste the season that you have of life on a bunch of stupidness or a bunch of foolishness or a bunch of things that mean nothing. You know, Jesus, when he was in the earth, he said, you know, look, I only do what I see the Father doing. I mean, it's incredible. The Son of God here, walking on the face of this earth, and yet in his time, in his season, in that which he put his hand to while he was here in this life, he only did what he saw the Father doing. And for you and I, you know, that should be our pursuit. That should be our joy. That should be our focus, our life, our existence should be in the same line, in the same vein, in the same connection as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And you know, right now the world needs the true sons and daughters of the living God to rise up and to be who they are. Because the world can't fix any of its problems. The world, left to its own devices, will kill itself, will destroy itself. It doesn't have a solution. It never did. You know, the world by itself is madness. And you see that even with some of the things that you see going on in the world right now. You see the kind of things that people will say, and the justification that people use for some of the most incredible actions, and you know, and in their own mind being justified, which is, you know, by very nature is madness. When, you know, you lose touch so far with what's actually real and what's actually important, what's actually moral, what's actually just, what's actually in line with your God-given conscience, and you justify some of the most heinous acts and atrocities. And, you know, the part of the demonic way is, you know, is the end justifying the means. That's part of the demonic way, you know, whereas like, okay, well, you know, we're going to, this is the ends that we want, and so the ends justify the means. So all the horrible things that we have to do to get to our utopia is what we're going to do. And in the end, what ends up happening is just people end up never getting to their utopia, and the means that they use, that being where they live. And the means that they use being absolute terror and horror and destruction and all of the things that man does left in and of himself and to himself. Whereas the difference with the follower of Christ is, with the follower of Christ, success is in the obedience. And the only time that you can obey God is right now. The only time that you can walk with God is right now. The only time that you can do that which God has for you is right now. That's why he is I am. You know, when Moses asked him, he said, whom shall I say sent me to God when he was at the burning bush? And God said, you know, I am. I am. And you know, there's a powerful revelation in that. There's a powerful revelation for every child of God that walks with him through life, is that you walk in I am. And that's why, too, a success for us is in the obedience. It's not in the result. You know, Jesus, with the things that he did, success for him was not in the result. Success for him was in obeying what the Father had for him. And success for you and I is in obeying what the Father has for us. The results are in God's hands. See, this is the thing. This is the key for a child of God, is that for you, the result is in God's hands. It's not in your hands. The results is in his hands. For your role, your responsibility, your call is to walk with him in this moment right now. Have your face towards the Father. Keep in line with him. Act in accordance with his word and his revealed will. And leave it at that. The rest will be up to him. He'll do the rest. He'll take care of the rest. You know, sometimes people try to master all these other things in that pursuit, just like the world, of the ends justifying the means. And they do all these horrible, terrible things, and then they realize, sometimes if they do get quickened before they crash and burn, if they do get quickened in the midst of that, what a terrible thing that they've ended up doing, and how far away from God that they've pointed themselves. Their faces are no longer towards their Creator, but their faces have been turned away. Look, success for you is in the obedience, not in the result. the world will always be looking towards the result and always be promising all kinds of things if you just do this evil thing now. If you do this evil today, you'll get good tomorrow. No, they just do evil today and they do evil tomorrow. And it's a perpetual, just lifelong destruction of themselves and everybody else. No, do good today. Walk with God today. In this moment, walk with Him. Because this moment's all you have. This moment is all that you have. This instant is all that you have. And you know what? That's the way it always is. That's the way it is in eternity too. In eternity, right now is what you have. You know, eternity is not endless time. Eternity is the... there is no more time. You will go into a state of eternal existence, an eternal being, right now. So, you know, to dispel with the illusion of time is, and then to walk with God in the moment that you have right now, to enjoy this moment that you have right now. Psalm 118, verse 24, let me read this for you. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When are you going to rejoice? Well, yeah, right now. You know, right now you have that moment. You've been given that moment. God gave you this moment right now to walk with Him. You know, I know that a lot of you guys get get sometimes stressed about all the things going on, either in your own personal lives, you know, and some of you write in on some of the things going on with you, and you know, we read the mails, and you know, we do keep you guys in prayer. I know we have to write back to some people, but you know, we do keep you guys in prayer. But you get stressed about the things going on in your life. You get stressed about the things going on in the world. You get stressed about the things going around you. You get stressed with the things going on with your family. Look, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. You know, right now, take joy for the fact that God has given you, you know, another moment to be here. Look, the moment that this body ends, that this your existence in this paradigm ends too. All of the tears, all of the pain, all of the struggle, all of the stuff that's here as you're a child of God, you don't take it with you. You feel it right now because you're here. You're in it. You're in the dream. But if you can detach yourself from what that is and realize what's real, you can then come into the place of who God's made you to be right now and walk in that. Not caught up in the illusion like everybody else. And also realizing what God has done for you. Look, He set you free. He set you free from the illusion of this world. He set you free from the power of sin. You know, sin has power over people. Sin has power over people's lives. Sin has the ability to enslave people. They can't get out of it. You know, it is just the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks us free from that. It is just the power of the Spirit of God that allows you to walk out. So you don't have to be held by that. That is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me flip there really quick. Got my Bible. Going to be using it more now. We're going to be pulling out the scriptures more and more often. Acts chapter 1. Hold on. Let me get there. Acts chapter 1 and... And actually, let me jump back to verse 7 here. Let me jump back to verse 6 here. Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returning unto Jerusalem, and from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, and then it goes on. All right. First of all, verse 6. When they'd come together, they asked, God, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, Jesus, when he came into the world, right, they had all kinds of expectations about the coming Messiah, what he would do, how he would set things up, all the things that they anticipated that Jesus would do. And now Jesus has gone to the cross, raised from the dead, standing there in front of them, and now they're like, are you going to, now at this time, restore the kingdom of Israel? Now are you going to fulfill the expectation that we have? And the thing is, you know, throughout, this is a huge temptation for people, throughout trying to figure out times and seasons, all the things that are going to come and where they are. And what did Jesus say? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Okay, so don't worry about it. It is what it is. But, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus is saying here, look, don't worry about the times and the seasons. Spend your focus. If he's going to focus them on something, he says, look, don't focus on the times and the seasons. Focus on being that witness that I've called you to be. Focus on the power that I put in you by my Holy Spirit. You shall receive power. Now, you know that word, witness, is the same word that we get the word, it's the word martus, which is the same place we get the word martyr, which is you will receive the power to put to death anything in your life that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. You've received the power of the living God into your life that has given you the power to put to death anything in your life that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. Now, and that power allows you to go anywhere that God would send you in the earth and be an ambassador of the living God, speak the truth, and do that right now, not in the future. So here's the thing. If this was the old school day, you know, if these guys jump forward to the time that we're living in right now, you know, there's so many people that are stuck on the times and the seasons and wondering who's this and who's that. Now look, a general awareness of what's going on around you, fine. You know, but keep your focus on the main thing. Don't fall out of who God's made you to be right now. Instead, you know, keep your focus on that which God has for you. You shall receive power, and you've been given that. And God has given you the power to put to death anything in your life that keeps you from being what He wants you to be. So whatever it is that thing is in your life that makes it difficult for you, that keeps you, look, just know that God has given you the power. And you know what? You can bring the scriptures back in your prayer, and you can walk with Him into them, and you can say, Lord God, this is in your word, and I want to walk in this truth. Help me, Lord. Quicken me to do this. And you know, one thing about that too, don't focus on trying to fix everything in the future. Just this day, point your face towards the living God. And right now, in this very moment, keep that moment, you know, and in the moment that you're in, enjoy your walk with Him. Enjoy being free. Look, you know, you make your decision in the moment whether you want to sin or not, whether you want to stray or not, whether you want to serve Him or not, whether you want to walk in the spirit of prayer or not. God said in His Word to pray continually. You know, well, you can be in a state of prayer all the time. You know, or you can step out of that and you can step into the flesh and you can worry like the world and you can be like them. You know, that's your choice. But you make a decision, you make a choice, and be, just be. Be the child of God that He's made you to be. Enjoy the life and the journey that He's given to you. Enjoy the connection that He has for you. Rather than worrying and perplexing and about all that goes on. Look, here's the thing. When you come into that state of being, from there, then you can receive the direction that the Spirit of God has for you. From that place of prayer, you can receive then His quickening. And He can show you where to focus. And you know, the thing is too, is that the children of God, we are God's method in the world. You know, God's method from the very start, when God established creation, God set up, He put Adam in place at the start. And He said, Adam, go out, have dominion. You know, go do this. And He set up man to do His will in the earth. And you know what? He didn't change His method of operation. We have been throughout the creation. We've been the bridge from that which is in the realm of spirit to that which is in the natural. And Jesus, God sent Jesus because His method was a man. God sent Jesus into the world to because He didn't break His method of operation. He brought man into the world. He brought the Son of Man into the world, the Son of God into the world, the only begotten Son of God into the world, because that was His method of operation. And then when Jesus left, He entrusted us to do His will. Gave it to us. And this is why, too, you have power. When He sends you out, you have power. You have power to do His will. You have power to pray. You know, your prayers can change the destiny of a nation, the destiny of a land. We know this. We know this. We do this constantly. We do this constantly. We have understood, as children of God, the power that God has put in us. And we gladly use the power of the living God as whatever direction He will direct us. And we know the power that's been put in us. We've shut down nations before. We've done it. We'll do it again. We'll do it whenever the Lord God quickens us to do it. Because you know why? We know our prayers have power. And so rather than focusing on you know, the little struggles that you feel like you have in life, look, those things are simple. Matthew 6. In fact, all right, let me grab the scripture again. Let me open it there. I'm going to try every now and then to paraphrase a little bit less and to give you the word straight. All right. Verse 24, Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus, quickening people, telling them, giving them the instruction. First of all, if you love money, you hate God. If you love God, you're going to despise wealth. You're going to despise. Well, here's the thing. Money is a good tool. It's a horrible master. You have to keep it in the right place. But verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right, so either you're going to hate money and love God, or you're going to hate God and love money. Or you're going to hold to God and you're going to despise money, or you're going to hold to money and despise God. I'm just reading the word. That's all. But you know what? Here's the interesting thing about that. What a lot of people end up doing is a lot of people, they love money and they hold to money. But they don't want to say, you know, they hate God and they despise God, right? So what they end up doing is they love money and they hold to money. But because they don't want to say that, because, you know, that is foolishness, because they still know that there's God out there. Instead, what they do is they end up creating a God in their own image and their own likeness, something that they can serve that allows them a dual nature, allows them to be split. They create a God in their own image and their own likeness. They create a Jesus in their own image and their own likeness, and that's the one they serve and they worship. See, this is where you get into trouble with Matthew 7 when Jesus said, you know, that verse 21 in chapter 7 said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, you know, that's where people get in trouble, is they love money, they hold to money, so they hate God, they despise him, but the delusion they have is they think they know him because they've created a God in their own image and their own likeness, and that's the one that they serve. So they serve illusion of him. They don't serve the real one. And because they don't serve the real one, and then what they do is they get a bunch of other people around them that also love money, that also hold to money, and they all as a group pat each other on the back saying, yeah, you're okay. Oh, you're okay. Yeah, yeah, we were fine. We're good. Yeah, okay, good. Good. Let's all go on Sunday, right? Good. You see what I'm saying? You see where this happens. You see where that delusion goes. If you want truth, you'll find it. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall be open. That's the place. You're not going to find it somewhere else. And so, if you love God, if you hold to God, that deceptiveness of wealth, which Scripture talks about, you will put money in the proper place. It will not be your master. It'll be a tool that's diminished into that proper place. And God will show you what to do with that. But you got to seek first the kingdom. And this is the admonition there. Is if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, God will take care of the needs when they're needed. He will take care of that which you need when it's needed. And if you look at it right now, what problem do you really have? God's taking care of your needs. Right now, you, as you listen to this, you know, in this moment right now, every need that you have, God has met. He's taking care of it. You're all right. And if you seek first his kingdom, this is the promise that goes with it. That God will add to you the things that you need. You know, there's a promise that he gave us when it came to, when it comes to this life and ministry, is he said to us, he'll give us the need when it's needed. That's what he told me at the start. He said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. And I've seen that to be true again and again. There's a lot of things I have not needed, and they've not been there because I haven't needed them. And in a time when I've needed them, God has given them to me. That is part of the victory that we have. In the time that it's needed, God gives it. In the time that is needed, God puts it in our life. And when we don't need it, it shouldn't be there. Look, the children of Israel, when they were in the desert, in the wilderness, They only needed manna while they were in the wilderness. They didn't need it when they went into the promised land, and they didn't need it while they were in slavery in Egypt. Slavery in Egypt, they were eaten from the world. The world was feeding them. The world was using them. And when they came out of the world and they were in the wilderness, God provided for them. God took care of them. God watched over them for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear thin. And God fed them from heaven every day. And gave them a double portion on Saturdays or on Fridays so that they could enjoy the Sabbath. So, you know, God took care of them. God takes care of His people. God takes care of His people. And then when they came into the promised land again, they didn't need it anymore. So the manna stopped. And they ate from the promised land, the land of milk and honey. God took care of them. And here's the thing, is you have to flow with what God is doing. Because God's provision, His protection, all of the things that go with Him, they go with Him as you go with Him. He is the good shepherd. He leads His sheep. His sheep know His voice. As you walk with Him, He'll take care of you. As you go with Him, He'll watch over you. When the children of Israel followed Him through the wilderness, He was a pillar of cloud by day to block the hot sun, and He was a pillar of fire by night to guide and to lead them and to give them sight in the darkness. But if you wanted to be with Him, if you wanted to walk with God, you had to go. When He was going, you moved. Otherwise, you wouldn't be with Him. You know, Jesus, if you wanted to walk with Jesus in life, you had to move. You had to go with Him. You had to be in step with Him. Wherever the Son of God led you, you went. I mean, it's incredible that Jesus in His life and His earthly ministry was on the move. He could have done it a lot of different ways. He could have set up a monument, could have set up a place. Everybody could have come there from the far reaches of the earth to hear the wisdom of Jesus. But He didn't do it like that. No, instead, He got His traveling gear together, and anybody else that wanted to be with Him, they had to go with Him. And, you know, we've said it before. You know, the thing is, if you walk with somebody, what happens is everything around you will change except your company. That will stay the same. But your experience will change, your environment will change, everything around you will change except your company. And that's got to be the thing that you want more than anything else. You've got to want the presence of the Son of God in your life. You've got to want Him more than you want anything else. If you want Him, you will find Him. If you forsake all for Him, you'll have it. And then allow for Him to add into your life whatever else it is that He wants you to have. He knows what you need. He'll take care of what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. That which you need, God will take care of, will add unto you. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just say hi. We're on an incredible journey right now with God. We're going to be traveling a lot. And as we travel, as we do what God has in front of us, you know, we share the word along the way. And, you know, hey, Lord willing, perhaps we'll cross paths somewhere out there too. But keep on keeping on. And just trust Him. He knows what He's doing with you. He's in control. And pray. Your prayers have power. Pray for us too. And, you know, we keep you guys in prayer as well. All right, God bless you. Talk to you soon.